Hello and welcome to episode 26 of the Sackdown. This is one that I don't think most people saw coming, but today we have somebody special with us here. We have Titan from Pain Gaming, one of the most popular, one of the most successful players right now in Brazil. LTA South, but you know, like he was one of the most popular CBLOL players. Obviously, you guys ended up going to Worlds last year, got to compete against Faker, made it out of the play-ins. People were really hyped about that. And yeah, now that you're technically in the LTA region, I thought you'd be a perfect guest because there's a lot of discourse right now about the LTA in general and the fact that there was this merger and how things ended up going down and just the viewership and all these things, and having somebody who's kind of like the face of the LTA South in a way, I think would be really good for people. So I've thought about a lot of ways to start the show, but I think the most unique thing is just the Brazilian culture in general. When people say Brazilian culture, I think when it comes to League of Legends, I don't think people really know what that means in the North. Like they don't know why the teams are passionate. They hear, oh, it's passionate. They see the fans going crazy, but they don't know like what that really is. So I wanted to ask you, like, how would you describe the differences between the way Brazil sees League of Legends and the professional scene compared to everywhere else?
I think they are too passionate at the game, not only that. And seems, what I feel about everything is like sim soccer. They always likes to cheer, and it's not like the North America, right? I already play there, and they are too calm for me. And when they experience this on Brazil, is like the opposite, like that much hard. And I feel there is no crowd like Brazil, you know, because They are too much competitive. Like they want to win, they cheer a lot for his team, for their team. So yeah.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing for me is that in Brazil, all the teams seem to have fans. Like there was a statistic that they showed a while back where it was like the difference between the most popular teams in Brazil, their viewership, and the least popular teams. And it was actually very small. Like most regions, the most popular teams are getting like 5x or 4x the viewership of everyone else. In Korea, for example, when T1 plays, it's like 10x every other team. You know, like they are just by far the most popular. But in Brazil, it's like every team in CBLOL had fans. Like there's going to be people there in the crowd that are screaming for their team. And it doesn't matter if the team is like, you know, like INTZ in that split where they're just like 1-12 to start or some shit. Like they still have fans. They still have people there. So how would you explain like this where, you know, like it doesn't seem like it's only just the record that gets you the fans?
I think it's because of the history that INTZ make on the Brazil, first of all, because I think they win 4 or 5 championship in a row. Mm-hmm. And they got some fans over there, so they are too much like they like their team, you know. So I think it's because of this. Like they love INTZ teams that time, even though they are 1-12, they just like their team, you know.
Yeah, it's just different than NA because like we had teams like TSM, for example, and with TSM, you know, they were legendary. When Bjergsen was on the team, everyone loved TSM. Like, everyone cheered TSM.
Too much loyal. I think this is the words that I wanted to find. They are too much loyal to their team, even though they are losing so hard.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. I'm you know, a sports fan in America, and that's kind of how it is when it comes to American sports. But for League of Legends, that culture never stuck. It seems like for us, it was always like, if your team, like, you like players, you don't like teams. If the player that you like on the team is no longer on the team, no one actually ends up watching it. So yeah, it's a lot different when it comes to our viewership, at least.
I think they, on Brazil at least, like, you guys know BRTT, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like BRTT is like kind of one of the idol that we had here on Brazil. So I think the people here start to cheering for, like, mostly for the players that they like mostly, than our organization in overall, you know? And because we bring a lot of fans close to us, like we stream and we meet them at some events sometimes, and they could be able to know us better as a person. So they just cheer a lot for us.
I wondered now with the changes, because I had the privilege of talking to a friend of yours, Leon Butcher, about the changes to CBLOL. Very, very good guy. He he looped me in about what was going on last year and the changes that were so sudden. It kind of got me thinking about like what North America has lost over time too. It's like their legacy teams, TSM, COG, they're no longer there. It feels almost as if you are watching a show and you know it's going to get canceled because you can't like really buy into the stories. And it felt like with CBLOL, what I understood, what Leon Butcher, of course, he explained to me was that a lot of the stories are now just shut down and we don't know now suddenly, right? What the stories are. I wanted to ask you in terms of fan sentiment now in comparison to previous years, where are we at? How are the fans reacting to everything and how do they feel about the current situation now after the split?
First of all, they feel so bad. Everyone feels so sad that what they create about the mood of everything, like of CBLOL at that time, like just gone, you know, just disappear. So they were sad for me. I could feel that. I could see that also. And it's because it was 10 years, you know, 10, 11 years, something like that, of creating this. The scenario of everything, of fans, of everything, you know, about League of Legends for Brazil. So suddenly just change was kind of sad for us, for sure.
Yeah. When I looked into the sentiment of the fans, it seems like fans have shifted their view a little bit.
They were frustrated, actually. This is the worst word that I can find.
Yeah. I also noticed like in the community that they are frustrated about, of course, the result, because in the end there was the four teams versus LTA North, and there's been a lot of discussion about structure and professionalism. What is your view on that topic in terms of how teams in LTA South approach practice and what your availability is? Because I when I put my ear to the community, this is like the conversation that I saw the most.
I think LTA North is more disciplined towards the practicing for me. They of their concepts, they are more like solid and consistent also, you know, what I could feel by them. If they mistake once, they on the next game they already fix it. So like on Brazil is kind of different. What I can feel is up to the mood sometimes, or if some players is too emotional, they don't play much well sometimes, some games. And what I can feel, some players play better on the championship than the scrim. And yeah, it's kind of like that, you know. And on my point of view, like, you guys on the North America play better than scrim than us, for me, what I can say. And because of the consistency of that, on the championships, like the concepts of the games, because you guys play the right thing on the right moments, you guys face with more like calm, you know, like already know the situation. So, yeah.
Yeah. I would say that from somebody who has watched a lot of like CBLOL, what I tended to say was like the game is like fine until Baron spawns, and then when Baron spawns, it's like some shit's about to go down. Like somebody's
It's not even the Nash. I think it's the Atacano just also.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I was talking about like last season, the old Baron at 20 minutes. You know, like that's when I was like, oh man, like we're about to see something crazy. Like right now.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
what I can see is the like we against the 100 Thieves, for example. Mm-hmm. We were winning some situations with 2-3k lead or better composition just, and like for I can't imagine how we be able to have that type of like mistakes on in front of the objective, knowing that where they will come from, what they have, and when we face the situation, we face like the in the worst way possible, you know. So I'm kind of get frustrated by that, and
I mean, what I was gonna say about like the up until like Baron spawns type thing is like I always feel like there's good players in CBLOL. Like the mechanics are fine, you know, like you have talented players in the region, and I was going to, you know, ask you how it feels to compete in the region that's so isolated, because in other regions you like for example, in NA, you know, like the Latin American teams, the LLA teams are actually able to like scrim against NA teams. So they have the access to like play on our server. A lot of the NA teams would have like, you know, access to boot camps in Korea frequently. So they're able to interact with other teams. But it feels like in Brazil, one of the problems that you guys face is that you guys are so isolated. You're on your own server, yeah. Like Brazilian ping, you can't play anywhere else. And when you actually get these interactions with teams, like at Worlds, for example, you go there, you play for like 3 weeks, you get all this experience, and then you come back and you're in the same struggle again. And by the next time you go, it's like the problems have changed, like macro is different, the game has changed. It seems like it must be like so frustrating because it feels like you don't get enough interaction with like the better regions to actually just be able to, you know, like take enough learnings from them to improve as a whole.
I've said that so many times on my stream that we are that much isolated from the other regions. And for me, when you go to the boot camp is the real thing for me, because sometimes we go to boot camp like for 1 month, right? And we start to improving there, and we get better, and suddenly we need to go back because we have no much time to spend there, you know, for example, on the Worlds. Like, this is the first time that we could pass to the group stage, right? And I was so much happy because I was feeling my level is getting up, right? So I'm playing, like, against Gala or Elk, some of players that
he... Like Gumayushi in lane.
I mean, they are so much better than the others because they are the best in the Worlds. And I just can't play against these guys like on solo queue, for example, or some scrims. This frustrates everyone, I think, in the region on Brazil when it comes to them play against this type of players. And we just come back to Brazil and it's so isolated, you know, like. It's kind of annoying and frustrated for sure for everyone.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely see it. And like when I watch your team specifically, I feel like you guys have the best idea of macro concepts. But like the whole problem with Pain when I watch them is like discipline. You know, like you guys will have the right idea. For example, when you played 100 Thieves, I'm looking at situations like when you have the third Drake and it's like you have the setup and then you guys go for that like that small chase on bot. Where like you lose one wave of tempo and then you have to go back mid and then the whole situation is like 10 times harder because you have to react.
I said the same situation also, and the situation that we face this situation with the worst like position ever for me. We didn't pull the Drake up, we didn't change correct position. Like Rakan get that much space should be illegal for me. And I should be on the bush hitting the Drake and so they can't see me and it's not gonna be easy for them to fight. And I was watching that game with too much like anger, you know, because how we have this much lead, how we have this much prio on enemy, like we could just be able to maintain the position, to maintain the pressure at the mid lane, go more further and put one more ward on the mid, and then when they come we are more ready, you know. So yeah, we have this kind of knowledge, but suddenly, sometimes we mess up on positioning or decision making. Just
yeah,
like my decision making is for me my biggest like enemy. You know, I should play better on my decision making. What I could feel on everything on this championship.
Yeah, I think that the issue that I saw with this championship is I don't think that. It's like the Brazilian teams couldn't improve. Like I think that the more you guys would interact with NA, the better the, you know, the placings would be. Maybe like next time one team would get through and the time after that, maybe it'd be like 2-2 and you guys would actually have like more parity between the regions. But my biggest issue with the format is like you guys play these games and I'm sure you can learn a lot from the stage matches, even more from scrims. You like see the stage match, you make this one mistake, you can get so much better as a team. But it feels like because of the format, the fact that we have these best of threes here, and then the next time you play an NA team is like in fucking September or some shit. Like you are playing way later on again, where it just feels like there's not enough, like the regions are merged, but they're not merged enough where you guys actually get the benefit of the competition, which was supposed to be what the idea was. It's like, okay, you guys have the viewership, you guys have the hype. our region's dead when it comes to viewership. We don't have any of the fucking hype. Like, if a player did half the shit that you did on stage, if somebody tried to Caitlyn ult and then stood up and started yelling, he would probably just get fined on the spot, bro. He might get shot.
APA actually talks to me and he said that he want to do that, but I don't know why people are so much scared.
It's actually illegal in our region. Yeah, if you stand up from your chair in the game, you actually get fined. You can't stand up from your chair in LCS.
On LCS, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't stand up. Like, if you stand up, it's like you get fined. I've had a warning even back when I played in season 5. I had a warning because as the Nexus was exploding, I was like hyped. We like beat TSM or something. And as the Nexus was exploding, I was like standing up and I took off my headset. And you can't take off your headset apparently until like the game has been completely resolved. Like,
yeah, on the Nexus, right?
Yeah. So I've been warned for that as well. So the thing for me, to bring it back to the point, is that if the regions are actually going to be merged, the only way it would benefit Brazil in any way is if you guys had way more games against North America, so you could actually like spend more time like interacting and playing versus these teams in the stage matches that actually matter. So how do you feel about this idea of like, you know, there not being enough games? It's merged, but it's not merged enough where you guys get the experience.
I don't know how LTA North is going to feel about it, but of course for Brazil is like way better because we can improve our game and we can see how it's going to be the situation, because I already feel that we improve a lot, like playing against FlyQuest, for example, like Liquid, like Cloud9 and the 100 TV also. So for me, if this happens, would be the best scenario, what I can think. And it's not that I don't know, I know it's not enough to play in only this, like, it's not a long time, you know, to play against this guy, so we should play more against them to be better, what I think. And if we merge like that, we can see like another players like growing up and showing their best, just.
My balls, my grundle, my armpits, my feet. What do they have in common? They all smell fantastic because I use Mando Whole Body Deodorant. Ladies and gentlemen, well, growing up, going into those parties, whatever, you wanted to prepare for any scenario and you tried using that deodorant stick that is only meant for one place and other places, I'm telling you, it's a terrible idea. Don't make the same mistake I did. Buy yourself some Mando Whole Body Deodorant, because with that, you can walk into any situation, whether it's an elevator, tight spot, party. Who knows where you might end up or for how long you might end up. This lasts for 72 hours and you can apply it to, of course, all over your body. It is created by a doctor, you know, clinically proven to just block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours, as I just mentioned. There's many product options. There's a solid deodorant stick, and of course, there's a spray deodorant that is aluminum-free and ideal for hard-to-reach places. You know, if that's your body shape, that's okay. Mando makes you smell good no matter who you are, no matter where you are. So, let me tell you, you should get the Mando starter package. It's perfect for new customer. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. I always mentioned, of course, the deodorant wipes that are just so good to keep in your pocket in case, just in case, you go for a 15-kilometer jog because you're running away from something and then you meet a beautiful lady and you want to say hello and then boom, deodorant wipes. You're covered. No problem. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code. That equates to over 40%, of course, of your starter pack if you use the code TSD at shopmando.com. That is shopmando.com. Please support our show. Tell them we sent you. Use the code TSD. Smell fresher, stay drier, and boost your confidence from head to toe with Mando. I wanted to follow up on your point because you mentioned that players are very, very emotional, and I think that's something that can be very powerful and also very volatile at the same time in both directions. Like I only competed against Brazil once, and That match made my players angry, made me angry, because Brands was doing this bot gap thing to my bot lane in the middle of the game, and we didn't know how to react to this shit. And we had a performance coach who was from a basketball background, and he's like, these guys are sports guys. Like, we have nerds here, and these are sports guys that are getting into our head. I wanted to dig a little deeper on the topic of what you can change internally in terms of the work and the day-to-day. What are some of the things that you've noticed throughout your experience that you wish to see in other teams and sometimes maybe even teammates? What do you think are abstract things you can change internally in Brazil to compete at a higher level, you think?
I mean, first of all, I think they should be more committed to the game. They should be more serious on the scrims for me and be more disciplined. This is the step that we should looking for. And there is a lot of things, you know, that we should improve on Brazil. For example, in houses, that is some, what I can feel is some, we should be more together as a region, to, as we are too much isolated. We should looking to play against each other more, better, more than solo queue, because solo queue here is not that much good. So I feel better if I'm playing against the pro players that we had here on Brazil. So this is one point that we can looking for also. But for me, some players is too much lazy to play in-house after the scrims. I think for me, they don't want to talk more, or they are they are not committed to the game, you know, for me. This is what I can say. And this is for me, okay? I can't say for the others. So this is my point, my opinion. So I have a lot to say about Brazil on scenario as well. Because I feel we lack so much on these situations that we can control. That we just don't do, what we should do, enough.
Yeah. I mean, we've had the same problem in North America. I mean, to be honest, a lot of the things you're saying, it's the same conversations we have in NA, because on a different scale, NA has always lost to the Korean teams, the Chinese teams, and we always end up saying our solo queue is bad. But when Champions Queue came out, people don't play it. And there's always different excuses as to why Champions Queue won't work out.
I completely disagree about the thinking that if we are that isolated and we can play against the best teams, why we don't just group ourselves and play better as in-house, for example? We can play against each other every single day if we want it. This is what we can control, We can't control playing on Korea. Being on the North America, I can't control playing in Brazil against Korea. I can't do that. So if I can't do that, I should improve at least my region. So this is one point that I can say to everyone, actually, that had the same problem. So I try so many times. I try to help some academy. For example, what people is doing, what people did on Brazil to trying to help the pro players, and he talked on Twitter about that. I've been doing this my whole life on the scenario of League of Legends in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried streaming the scrims? That's just a joke, by the way. No, I'm just talking some shit. So on that line, I was thinking, this is something I was going to bring up later, but we might as well get it to this point now. The rules have now changed when it comes to imports in North America, right? Now, because LTA is supposed to be a merged region, you're allowed to have two imports from anywhere. And then you can have that third slot, which is from somebody that's cross conference. So you could have two Koreans plus an LTA South player on an LTA North team with two LTA North residents on it. And because you've been popular in Brazil, you obviously have been to Worlds a couple times now, and you have experience. Have you ever considered potentially, playing in another region? Have you ever got offers from EU, NA? Have you, had the chances to go abroad?
Can I say again?
Have you ever had the chance to play in North America or EU? Have you got offers from teams in LCS or LEC?
If I had, I didn't know about it because this is one of my dreams, like since before, to go to play out of Brazil because I feel I have good potential to play on the LEC or NA, something like that. Because I could feel when I go to the international events that I can do more, you know, than in Brazil. So this is one of my dreams. But I'm getting older because what I can see, the other regions have like they have really young players nowadays that have a lot of potential also. And yeah, if I have it, I don't know about it, but of course, if I have one opportunity someday or like, yeah, I could be able to go.
Interesting. No, I'm surprised because there's a lot of risk that obviously comes with that. Like a player like you that has so many Brazilian fans and also, you know, you have your family in Brazil and all this stuff. I didn't know if that was even something that you'd be open to, but it's interesting to hear that.
My mom always said that if this is my dream, she'll not like looking to interrupt me or like stop it. So since I wanted to be a pro player, like on the first moment that I became a one pro player, she said, if this is your dream, just looking for it, then I will be cheering for us and like supporting you. So it's fine.
Yeah.
I was honestly surprised that because in the off season when like the whole merger came, because I watched all your Champions Queue games and I watched when you guys were beating like the Billy Billy mixed teams, and I was like, oh damn, this player is gonna be playing in LTA North. So I'm surprised that nobody's been knocking on your door, you know. Maybe we need to tell GMs what's up, you know. those games were crazy. So it's like I just want to really, really solidify for everyone that's listening that it's like when you were playing those games, like that was a really, really big hype moment in preparation for like the World Championship, and watching you compete against like the LPL AD carries was like insane to watch in the Champions Queue games, and it was very, very clear that you had like a clear fire to want to do more and to really, really put the effort behind the game. So that was very, you know, that sticks with me when I watch it, and I hope it sticks with everybody else that is listening as well.
If I have the opportunity of improve or to be committed to the game on that point, I just wanna looking forward and yeah, be better. Just I always look to that, and I hope I can get better.
Based, honestly, have you had your wireless headset die on you mid game? Suddenly you're playing and you can't hear anything. Well, that means that you are not using a Turtle Beach Stealth 700 headset, which has some of the longest battery life that we've ever had in headsets. An 80-hour battery life with the Stealth 700 headset that you can get from Turtle Beach. The Stealth 700 has the industry's first ever cross-play dual wireless transmitter system. That means you can seamlessly switch between your consoles and your PC with just the click of a button. And it gets even better. While being connected to your console, the Stealth 700 can connect to your phone or music for streaming or even taking calls. At the same time, listen to your favorite songs while gaming, all with the Stealth 700. Turtle Beach doesn't just have amazing headsets, they also have every gaming accessory that you could ever want, and they're all high quality at prices that don't break the bank. Head to turtlebeach.com and use code TSD for 10% off your entire order. That's 10% off your entire order at turtlebeach.com with the promo code TSD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Get the ultimate immersive gaming experience with Turtle Beach today. I have a place to take this. Let's talk about something that happened recently, or maybe not happened recently, but we got the information recently, which is, you know, yesterday we had your teammate, your mid laner, end up, you know, retiring from competitive, you know, and looking back and, you know, trying to prep for this episode, we saw that you actually did play mid, and obviously your tweet was like, oh, let's see if I still know how to play mid. You played mid for a decent amount of time. Like, how was that to actually play mid? Because you were an AD carry from what I could see all the time, and then you randomly played mid within CB LoL. So how was that?
When I was in my hometown city, I was playing AD carry to play in the tier 3 at that moment. I was playing Tier 3, and then suddenly Kabum just called me for like replace the, I think it was Vash at the time at bid laner, and it's because of my dream is like playing in the competitive. I just don't give a fuck about everything and just go there, you know. I just go there and start playing as a mid laner, and my father came with me at that time, so it was really funny because I never fly to other city in Brazil, so it was my first time, and it was like so funny. But I play mid, and then after I became AD carry.
Based.
How did that change happen? Like, why the change back?
It's
to
because
the
I was already AD carry on that moment.
So
I was playing Tier 3. Yeah, I just go for my dream and don't give a fuck, and I'm gonna start playing mid. And I start playing mid, and it was like so funny. But at the ending, I could be able to become an AD carry once again, so it was good for me.
Were you like a solo queue superstar? Were you somebody who was all the way at the top of solo queue, and it was like, oh, this guy has mechanics, it doesn't matter what role he plays?
Yeah, I always like to play other lanes. I was playing mid laner on the solo queue, jungler as well, and sometimes top laner. And is what I feel about about if you can play other matchups and other lanes, you can learn more about the damage or the intention of the play sometimes, you know. And playing other lanes, I feel that. So yeah, this is why I play other lanes.
Yeah.
I wanted to follow that up because it's like in terms of like your approach to or like the approach to your off seasons has been rather unique. I tried to do as much digging as possible, and the some things that stood out, of course, was going from winning championship in Kabum and then going to take the big risk and the leap to join a challenges team to build something from scratch.
The Redkin is right.
Yes, yes. Can you tell us about what was behind the decision and what you, in general, look for in teams?
I don't want to be like, on that time, I don't want to be like that much comfortable in the position that I had, and I was looking to have some challenge, you know, and I wanted to do one step back to do two ahead. And then suddenly I just like lose 3 times in a row, and I said, my God, my career, like what I did, you know. But at the ending, like everything went well. I could be able to back to the CBLO, and I win the Challenger Series, and everything goes well after that because we could fix the players that we should have together to win the whole thing.
What was it about Red Canids? Because I read the open letter that you did, and it was very clear that your time there was very important to you. You wanted to, of course, retire in this team. What was it that was so unique about the experience? What was it that stood out to you?
It was like my family at the time, of course. Like the owners, like they were very receptive when I came to the Red Canids. And after that, they take care about me a lot. I was on Kabum, and I was lost, and I wanted some new challenge, and they could be able to support me like a lot on that time. So I kind of play for it, you know, because I feel they were too much close to me, and it was like I have good feelings about them, you know.
And then in the end, you mentioned that, of course, you wanted to retire in the team, and the change of
I didn't want to go back at the time, or to get out of the Red Canids at the time.
Yes, yes. Like the open letter, I suggest everybody to read. I read the translation of it. It's a very, very beautiful open letter, and your emotional state of mind really, really came through. And it's something that definitely holds up because it was a little bit of time ago now. Now that you reflect back on that moment, what do you think went into the decision? What do you find in your reflection about this moment in time?
Our decision?
Yes.
I don't want to say on this way. But I don't know much English, so I need to say on that way. But this It's not like on this way, you know. Okay. I think they, after they finish the championship, they don't think much clearly. I think they want some change, and they just find one player to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. Because we have a good team. Like, we changed like two people already. Like, it was like the FNB, I think, and the Envy at the time, and they suddenly wanted like just change and make some good mood. And I was kind of tired at the time also, because we were changing too much, and we couldn't be able to get much synergy as a team. So I feel so much bad at the time, because we couldn't hold one team like for a long time, you know.
Yep. I see. As a follow-up, because we talk about fan sentiment.
And they said at the time it would be me or the jungler Aegis at the time. So if they just changed me, because the AD carries have more options than jungler.
Yeah,
that's what they said to me. So yeah. I said, okay, so it's gonna be like that.
I mean,
I already knew I'm gonna get kicked all the time, but they keep saying, oh, maybe it will happen like on this way, blah blah blah, and then
I mean, just to play devil's advocate here, do you think that there is a truth to that sentiment? Because from watching Brazil, it feels like the AD carries are in general pretty good in the region. Like, I would say that the strongest role in Brazil has been AD carry. Is that how you feel, or where do you think the strongest role in Brazil is?
Yes, for sure AD carry. For sure, I can say that.
Okay.
Because I always look at the other names when it comes like to other people wanting to play with some players. Like, for example, we have no mid laner right now, right? So
yeah,
we are trying to find.
You have to play both roles. You have to play mid and AD carry at the same time. It's 4v5.
We are trying to find the mid laner. So there is not much options, what I can see. And if we talk about the names that is really good on Brazil or is fine, that is not much, you know. That is not much potential or good players. So for me, when I say in terms of AD carry, you can find more than other players, you know, on their roles.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely makes sense. I guess Yamato, we should talk about, you know, his relationship with his mid laner, or his former mid laner now, Dinketo, because this is somebody who, you know, we've heard has been like an important part of you joining this team and wanting to be on Pain in the first place, and now he's obviously retiring. So what was your relationship like with this player? Why did you like playing with him so much? What is going to be missed within the team now that he's no longer there?
I know him since 2015, since I was not a pro player on the time. I played some tier 3 with him, and I was talking to him sometimes, and 2018 we could be able to win 4 championships, I think, together, and after that we just separate. But what I can say about him, he's like the example of an athlete for me. He's always first on the offs. See, he is always watching VOD. He's always like the example of player that you wanted to have on your team, because it's all about League of Legends, and he's too committed to the game, even though sometimes he have no motivation to that, because on the last moments that I have with him, he have no motivation anymore, you know. He was just tired of everything, and it was his last guess for me on this LTA, what I could see from him. And this is what I think about him. This is what this is why I wanted to play with him on Pain Gaming, because I wanted to feel like the same thing that I feel on 2018 about like being a professional, you know, for me. So yeah, I think that's why. And he's good also. I was I thought he was solid mid laner. A good name of mid laner on Brazil, so I had more chance to win on Pain Gaming than other players, so I wanted to go Pain.
Are you tired of browsers that just eat up your RAM and just no customization options at all? Do you feel trapped in a relationship with an old and slow browser because you've just used it for so long and all your bookmarks and settings and all that jazz is just all in that same place and it just feels so overwhelming to move on? Well, no worries. Opera GX has got you covered. You then installed it. Boom, you use the link below. Easy peasy. You press the setting button. Even a bronze player could do this. Are you smarter than the bronze player? Show it. You scroll down. Boom. You find the import bookmarks and settings button. You click it. Choose your browser. Import. You can select the items to import. Boom. All of a sudden, you're up to speed and your new life can begin. Now you can use all of the unique features, of course, of Opera GX. The first one that comes to mind is, of course, the Riot Corner. The Riot Corner is something you're going to unlock if you use one of the mods that are, of course, League of Legends related. You scroll down and all the info that you need in regards to any major event that's going on will be here. The last one, of course, was Worlds 2024. You see the calendar, you see all the matches, you can click them and watch them, and you'll be up to speed with anything that is going on, of course, in the global league landscape. You scroll down, you also see the co-streamers. Look at this handsome devil and this beautiful cat. You click this one, of course. I won't judge you. If you click anything else, maybe I will. Nevertheless, the GX store has a bunch of mods that you can, of course, use to customize your experience. Let me show you how easy it is. Renata Glask, one of my favorite champions, install mod. Let's see how this looks like. Simple press of a button. Boom, everything changes. New tab noise, keyboard sounds, the beautiful background of Renata looking over Zaun. If, for some reason, you want to mix and match and you want to make it your own, you can do so, of course, in the mod hub. You just press the interface, you pick and choose, you can do fonts, app icons, themes, wallpapers, you can do sounds, keyboard sounds, browser sounds, background music, anything to, of course, your liking, because Opera GX is truly your browser. So what are you waiting for? Make sure to use, of course, the link in the description below to support the channel and to, of course, also download Opera GX. It comes pre-packed with all of these league features. Make your browser truly, truly yours today. Thank you, Opera GX, for, of course, supporting this content.
I wanted to follow up on that because you mentioned you've known him for such a long time. In terms of inspirations and the most important people that have shaped you in your career, what are some people that stand out to you when I ask this question? And can you tell us more about them?
About what?
Are there certain people that have inspired you in your long career? Like you've won many championships, many different teams, and you've worked with many different people. Are there other people besides Zinkedo that stand out to you as inspirations?
Yeah, BRTT for me was the first one, actually, because when you talk about Brazil, you always will talk about BRTT for me, because he's an idol for everyone. And for me, what I could feel about his game style, or like he stand up and screaming to another players, this is one of the inspiration that I get from him actually. So I think BRTT is one of them. Like, was my first idol on Brazil. So yeah,
I remember.
I think it's only these two players actually, Zinkedo and the BRTT. The rest of them, I don't. It's international. You know.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. When did Brazil get a server? It was like 2013 or 2014, something like this.
I think it was 13.
Yeah, maybe it was 2013, because I remember I was friends with BRTT. I don't even know if he still remembers even who I am, but I was friends with him on NA server. Like, we would play all the high rated matches together. Like, he was just playing like 100 ping from Brazil. I think Draven had came out, I think, at the end of season 2, and he was one of the first people that, like,
he was OTP this champion, actually.
Yeah, he was OTP, and I just remember, like, because, you know, I was started streaming at the time. Like, he was streaming at the time too. We had very similar view counts back at that point. You know, we were both kind of like starting out. And now it's just like, I remember skinny BRTT, man. Like, I remember when this guy was like super, super skinny. Now he's all swole up. But like, I remember playing back in the day with skinny BRTT, bro. Like, that was a different vibe, man. Like, he was more reserved. Like, on stream, he looked so calm. Like, he wasn't wasn't flaming or anything. He just looked like very stoic. It was just crazy to see, you know, when you watch the match, it's him just stand up and start yelling. And I wanted to just talk to you about, you know, when you stand up and stuff, like what exactly are you guys saying when you yell? Are you just like, yeah, man, that's like how we fucking do it? Like what exactly comes out when you're in these moments? Because you've had some of the most legendary like stand up moments. The one that my chat loves is the most recent one with the Caitlyn ult. Because what I was saying, like, you can even find this on my TikTok and YouTube shorts. I post this everywhere because I thought it was so crazy. The speed at which you stood up, like, you didn't wait until the play was finished. You channeled Caitlyn ult, and then as soon as you pressed R, you started standing. Like, you were literally, like, in motion. It was part of the combo, you know? It was like EQ, auto flash, like, start the ult, and then boom. You're just already
it's standing because up. Because nowadays, I'm kind of fine, you know? I don't want to scream much, but only if people is, like, talk some bullshit for me or trash talking, and then I hold this for myself for the game, you know, because like people should know when they say shit to me, I always like this gives me so much motivation to play against them. So CEO at that game, I think he had some fights and he were winning on the early game. So he starts screaming at me. So he screamed and I look at him and I was like, this motherfucker is crazy to watch me. I just like. When I stand up, I was screaming to him, like just shut up, you know, shut up, watch why you are screaming at me, you know, like something like why you are screaming at me, like you're just getting carried, you know, something like that.
That's based, honestly. I was surprised that you didn't scream that much at the 100 Thieves players, because when going into it, that's what I thought would be like the biggest advantage for the Brazilian players, like the crowd going crazy. And then, you know, the Brazilian players just standing up and starting to scream to the NA players, because NA players, you know, we're more reserved. Like, people don't do social media. Yeah. People don't even like stream much, you know. People don't deal with that energy well.
I think it's because we were too much focused on our game. We wanted to win that badly that we didn't focus much on that, you know. Because, for example, if you start screaming at the other players, like, and you lose the game, it's kind of shameful, right? It's kind of shameful. You are screaming at them and you are not focused on the game. So I don't want to pass that view for the other people, so I just play my game. And also I feel sorry for some crowd that boo at the 100 Thieves at that time, so I was saying sorry guys, they boo you. So it was the first time that NA comes to Brazil, so I wanted to be good with them, you know.
Nah, fuck those guys, man. You should have yelled at them.
Yeah. When you come over to North America, then, like, when it's in the studio, you have to yell back.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, in terms of rivalries, it's like, are there any rivalries that, like, are there any AD carries or any other players that, like, that you've had, like, kind of a beef with? Like, oh, when you play against this guy, you really want to fuck him up? Are there any historical ones that we should know about?
The NA, you mean?
No, in general, like in Brazil, I want to
CEO for sure.
The big one, okay.
Yeah, after I lost to them, I was so mad, really so mad, because after he won the on 2-1 against us, he starts screaming, you know, and he's pointing at me and like put his finger like this, and I was like, oh my fucking Jesus, I lost to this guy. Like, I wanted to win against him.
Yeah, I was rooting for you guys in that match too, because I don't know, Leviathan, I thought that team was so weird. Like, just the way they played is so weird. For the most part, like, just I couldn't really.
But we were so much greedy at the draft on the last game against them. So I feel so shit because we didn't have point of pressure on the map. Like, we had some opportunity to fight against them, but we didn't choose the right thing to do it on the moment. So we just got snowballed by, like, we have, like, I think 4 melees against Thalia. So Thalia was, like, king of that game.
Yeah. I mean, I think Cody is also probably, like, the best player on that team, at least from watching them. I thought that Cody was, like, pretty solid overall. I think the strangest thing about that match for me, just watching it, was it felt like I mean, maybe my perception of your team is wrong, but when I think about Payne, right, from last year and just what I watched, I always felt like you guys were best when Weiser was on like some type of carry pick where he can just like play like lane like Jax or something like this. And, you know, Carioca is the tank jungle guy to me. He's like Sejuani, Maokai. Like, this is what I feel like he's actually best at these days. It might be funny because maybe like, you know, I think he used to be a carry player, but you know, nowadays I feel like this was his style, and it felt like a lot of the early draft wasn't really the Payne gaming style that I knew. And even throughout most of the split, it felt like you guys were playing different. So, what changed with your style? Why did you guys start playing so many different champions? Because it feels like you guys had a pretty solid formula.
First of all, swap. Swap is so annoying because our like standard was that we had good lanes.
Yep.
We have good lanes to fight other people, and we have troublemaker that is like mid, Kuri, like Weiser sometimes, and we get our lead by that, you know, by lane phase, by like playing around the bot lane, and the swap came. Swap for me messed up our thinking so much because Grubbs at the time also was like big, right? I think for me the FlyQuest was the best team that could like understand first than everyone the swap thing. That's why for me they could be able like to almost win GNG on the worlds. So after we play against these guys, seems like they just don't give a fuck about the matchup and they just play for the map and they play better around there, you know. And we change a bit our mindset on that, and maybe we kind of get lost for me on this situation because like we clearly have our identity but we change suddenly to other style and was bad for us, I think.
It's interesting to see because I feel like a lot of times like you guys were picking Caitlyn, and I believe the first game you picked Caitlyn when you played against Leviathan. You know, when I was thinking of your champion pool, I never really used to think about Caitlyn as like a champion for you, maybe in previous metas, but when I started watching, I thought that like you had champions that you preferred over that. And normally, especially when I watch Caitlyn in other regions, it's like a game 3, game 4 champion, you know, like once they remove all the prio AD carries, like Varus is out and, you know, Kalista is getting banned every single game and Ezreal gets out and Corki is out, whatever, then you start going to the Caitlyn. For me, like I was hoping that you just picked Corki because I feel like that champion is like super good in like in Brazil. Like I feel like that's a great champion for NA, EU, Brazil, like Corki, AD carry. I just feel like you could scale pretty well, have like decent lane phase and just you know, carry the game from there. What made you guys go to like this Caitlyn early?
I think about Corki, first of all, I want to say that we lose our like confidence to play in the bot lane. Like the screams was not getting like better, was not good with him, and then we lose kind of our confidence. And also we play against Loud, I think with Corki was not good. I don't remember, but was some team that we play Corki that we lose, and we lost our confidence on this on AD carry as well. And the other question was what?
No, I mean, I think that's fine. I mean, we just talk about like just the AD carry in general. No, I was talking about like the Caitlyn prio and why it was
Caitlyn,
so high.
Caitlyn. Yeah, why it was high? Because in Scream was too much good for us, and we wanted to have like snowball composition, like because we were losing too much on Screams, like in general, overall, on this year. Because what I can feel, what I could feel, we lose our confidence and our identity. So we wanted to at least have some advantage on the enemy team. That's why we get that much like composition like with Caitlyn and Elise, like that is like too much strong on the early game that you it's easy to get the advantage, you know. So yeah, that's why Caitlyn, that's why Elise, that's why we were like getting some like greedy drafts, you know, for me. Like that must win our early game.
I wanted to jump on the topic because there's like plenty of Korean imports playing in Brazil. And I've noticed, like I noticed in Champions Queue as well, it's like English speaking focused. I like in team environments. I wanted to ask in terms of incorporating Koreans to teams and how the day to day works, because everyone's speaking on their non-native language in a way. How does the day-to-day work, and are there difficulties in communications, and how do you kind of navigate around that?
I play Kuri with Kuri since 2022, 21, I think most likely 22. And it was hard because he didn't know even a single word of English. So I was just pinging. And then he started improving his English when he came to Pain Gaming, because that is like Jero, our coach, that is Korean, and Wiser, that is Korean. So he just take his notepad and he start like typing the words in Korean and translate to English. And he asked help for to everyone. And also he had a teacher. So I'm not only saying for my team, but another Koreans, what I can feel like, doesn't know how to speak English like clearly. So it's hard to communicate with them. But our team nowadays is really fine. We don't have this issue. We always talk like better on the English. Sometimes because we had three Brazilian people, we sometimes talking in Portuguese, and after we change to the English immediately because they should understand us, right? So nowadays it's fine, what I can say about us, you know. So yeah, it's kind of hard to deal with that they don't know English, you know. Even me, my English is still improving, and I don't know talk like more clearly, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe when you join an LTA North team, you know, your English will just be perfect.
We're just poaching you slowly, isn't that?
Yeah, just poaching you slowly, man. Like, we need his fan base over here, man. He gets more than every LTA North player who streams combined at this current moment. When we bring it back to, you know, the roles and stuff, you're playing with Curry. And I wanted to ask you about the supports in general in your region, because obviously 80 carries seem to
issue, really.
Yeah. So this is to me the biggest issue. When I said 80 carries are the best, I think that, that in general, the supports are just the worst in CBLOL, not obviously the worst, but like the worst role in CBLOL is support. Do you have the same mentality that supports are just behind in the Brazilian region?
I think the only Brazilians support now that can, like, CEOs is gone.
Yeah.
CEOs goes to the NA. Mm-hmm. And another one is Frosty. And after Frosty is JoJo. After that, no one.
Pro Delta? No.
For me, no one. After okay. that, this is my opinion, my view of the whole thing. Pro Delta can be, but I think only this two for me. Damn. That can play, like, high level of the game.
Too bad. IU became a 80 carry as well, so.
Yeah, like, in Korea, it's just Kuri wins, but yeah.
Not for me. I watched too much Winsome in my life, man. I watched too much Winsome in my life. When he was in NA, he had some good games, but then it fell off. You know, some players, I need to see, like, the trajectory, and I feel like Winsome has been the same since the first time I saw him to right now. He looks like the same exact player, so. You know, I have more hope for some of the other players. I mean, like, there's a few things. So recently I tweeted out and I kind of flamed Grevthar, and a bunch of Brazilian streamers and stuff started like retweeting. They started liking the tweet. You know, they're like, oh, this guy is so base. Why does everyone hate Grevthar in Brazil? I had no idea. I just thought he played bad in a game. I'm like, bro, this guy is playing for the other team right now. And all the streamers started co-signing it. So tell me, what do I not know? Why is there so much hatred for Grevthar in Brazil?
Brazilian people always have someone to blame. So
okay.
For me, Grevthar is one of them. But of course, that is a reason also. Because his farm is not much good on the games. Mm-hmm. So people start like flame that also and start like having some jokes about it. And he's like peaks as well. Like he have like some.
People always said he was a Brazilian Niski. That's when I started watching the region. That's
it's a crazy peak. Sometimes he's go Kled and Sai on mid and like crazy stuffs on the mid and like sometimes he's not going well and.
He's like a roaming type of guy, right? Like he wants roam a lot and stuff like this.
Yeah, because people thinks he doesn't have a good lane phase, and he likes to help the team more than everything. So when people talk about him, it's like that, you know, he doesn't have good lane phase, and he just likes to roam and make his plays, you know. That's what people said about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to me because when I started watching Brazil, like, there's so many like Brazilian fans. I obviously don't have that many Brazilian fans, but I do have some Brazilian fans that watch me for like LPL and stuff like that. And the thing that's been interesting is that the Brazilian fans are able to like contextualize every player, like every single player. They'll have some aspect about them that they'll like want me to know. They're like, oh, this, like for example, they'll be like, oh, IU, man, this guy is like complete prodigy. He was like the best Belveth in the world. They're like, oh, like Titan is like, he's the best, like he's the best AD carry in Brazil. And then they have, you know, like, oh, Robo, you know, it's the like the Eo Robo or however you pronounce it, you know, like they would just say this like over and over again, like whenever he would just run it down. It just felt like there was so much like brand attached to like every single player. Even, you know, the new jungler for Furia, for example, the new jungler for Furia, they're like, this is the second coming of Canyon. This is Brazilian Canyon, like young Brazilian Canyon. Like everyone just has some type of like narrative around them. Whereas like in NA, it's like, you don't even know, like FBI's been playing for years. I don't even know how to describe FBI. If somebody was like, oh, what's FBI's thing? I'm like, oh, he's pretty good. Ask me another player. Oh, that guy's like not bad, I guess. Oh, that guy is like pretty bad. Like that's pretty much all we have over here. So it's
but
crazy.
Brazil is always like this. This is the culture of Brazil. Actually, they always have some comments or some their own thoughts about the players that they cheer or they hate or something like that. You know.
So. Yeah, I just think that's what makes it so like interesting for me. That's why I feel like the Brazilian fan base is big, is because when you're watching these games, you have all like the little stories in your head. You're like, oh shit, this is like new Brazilian Canyon versus like Grefthar, the Rome guy who plays Kled and shit. Like you just have these things.
It's not only League of Legends for me. Like this is like games from soccer, CS:GO, like Dota. Like for me, our crowd is like that since like the other games, you know. So it's not just League of Legends.
Yeah, good though. I like it. Yamato, I saw you had something.
No, sorry. My experience is even in sports, like I'm a big football guy, and it was also in sports. It was always very, very different whenever like the Brazilian football team was involved in the World Cup. It was always like the energy was different in the stands, and everything was always very different. Yeah, that you get to find out about the stories of like when the South American teams play against each other, and then all of a sudden it opens up a whole new world of history that is just completely crazy to like dig into. I kind of want to roll back very, very far to something that you mentioned, because people like offered to do the coaching, right? And you mentioned yourself that you also have offered this to players. And you mentioned that the response wasn't good. Can you elaborate more in terms of what efforts you did and how the response was by your peers?
I streamed some games like only in house, and every player that is on the game, I open the screen to them and I say which point they are wrong, or what they should do on what they should improve. And it's just not only academy players, but sometimes it was CBLOL also. And I feel that I have the I have good knowledge because I have been on international more times than other players, some players actually. And I wanted to pass that to them, you know, so we can grow up as a region, like as one. That's what I felt on the time, and I wanted to pass this to everyone so we can like be better as a region. That's what I try to do since I start playing, because for me, when I was trying to get to be a pro player, there is no one to teach me, you know, there is no one to help me, and like I feel that this should be my job, you know, on my career. I wanted to pass like my whole knowledge for the younger people that I can see that had potential or like can do something or even better than me, you know. So I always try to help others, and it's like what people did for me. He even sent me a message. I talked to him a lot, so yeah, like we couldn't be able to pass the knowledge with each other, but because of time, of course, I was screaming by night, so like he had his schedule also. So, but he did with other players, so I already feel his good intention, you know, and this is my intention my whole career, so I could feel his genuinely, you know.
It's very admirable, because I don't think it's a coincidence there's a lot of good like ADCs from Brazil. It's like you mentioned BRTT. It's like it's crazy how much one person can move, and I hope you don't feel discouraged ever, because I think like you guys were comparing some of the issues that LTA North faces and LTA South faces, and Europe faced that for quite some time. But what G2 I think did good was that as the leader in the region, they kind of push people to take scrims more seriously by making them public, and people stopped canceling scrims and people took them a lot more serious. And people also began to shame people in regards to solo queue. And I feel like for the first time in a long time, it kind of restored value into solo queue, because there were many, many years where nobody cared about solo queue. Like your solo queue rank didn't matter. But moving into this best of five between KC and G2, there was a big post about how basically every player was top 15 on the challenger ladder. And I hope that you keep this level of passion for your region, because I'm sure it's like all the next generations, maybe in 5, 6, 7 years, when we are going to interview somebody else from of course LTS South, they're gonna say it's the same way you spoke about BRTT, they're gonna speak about you too, you know. So I hope you're aware of that impact, you know.
We're gonna have Titan's child on the Sackdown one day, you know, and he'll tell us everything his their dad taught him. So last thing, we have here actually a pretty unique thing. We have the coach of Route. I don't know if you knew this, Titan, but Yamato is actually coach the coach.
What?
Root.
Root.
AD carry. Root, the AD carry. Loud. I call him Route. We have a pretty interesting situation, because he was somebody who competed against a lot. You guys had a lot of finals. And I don't know if you know this, but Yamato was actually his coach in Sandbox in Korea. The one split that Yamato coached, he coached.
Yeah, really?
Always rooting against you. This guy Yamato, man, he was always rooting against you in all of those finals, you know. Yamato's always, I hope my boy Root wins. So tell us a little bit about what it was like competing against Root, because you had so many battles with this guy.
I think he's a pretty solid player. Like I think his teammates feel security, you know, to play around him, because he's solid. He don't take much risk, but he's always there on the team fights, you know, doing damage. So this is what I feel about him. He's sometimes aggressive, sometimes he's too much passive, but he's always solid. It's not easy to kill him, is what I can feel. And he's good. I think he's a good player.
How did it feel to like finally beat this guy? Because you guys had, you know, such a run with them, and it felt like this guy, like it felt like this Loud team was just kind of running Brazil for a minute there.
Yeah, it was crazy, because that's why I choose Pain Game, you know, because I feel only with this lineup I could win against them. And on the first split, I failed. And then it was so close, because it was the first time that Pain Game did like 3-2 against them. So I said, guys, maybe we know how to beat these guys. We just need to improve a bit, some details, that when we face against them, we are going to be better. Just that. And then after the second split comes, we were like knowing everything about them, about the picks, about their costume, like or their details, where they go, and we could be able to win 3-0 against them. So it was finally that we could beat them.
Yeah, based. I like it, man. I like it. And I think that the good thing is coming in this next split, I feel like hopefully this will return more of that like you know, that passion for the fans, or their fans will find it more fun because there is no interaction between LTA South and LTA North in the next split. So you guys will have your own playoffs. You'll have everything again, which I think it creates more hype. You know, like for me, watching the matches domestically in, like watching you go back and forth with Sale, that was more hype than watching like the cross conference didn't really hit for me. So I'm hoping that ends up kind of restoring some of the fandom there. This has been an episode where, you know, we've touched on a lot of different things. It's a good introduction, I think, also to like the NA fans from you know Western fans in general like to watch our show. Normally at the end of our show, because this is going to be like one of the shorter ones we do, you know, Yamato is up in the middle of the night. We woke up at 3 a.m. like 3 a.m. my time to do LPL. So for me, I'm like kind of getting like delusional at this point.
It's 10 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you did a full day of scrims. You're hungry. We know we're going to get you out of here soon. But at the end of our show, one thing we always do is we always ask our guests, is there anything that you wanted to talk about on the show that you didn't get a chance to? Is there any topic you had in mind where you're like, oh, I thought that we were going to talk about that. We didn't get a chance to. Is there anything you really wanted to talk about, or are you good with how the episode turned out?
Yeah, I want to say thank you to the invite, of course. And well, it's good to show one part of the people doesn't know about me or the scenario of the League of Legends in Brazil as well. So it's kind of hard to other people know what is happening here because it's too much isolated from the other regions. So yeah, it's good to be like close to NA right now because I want to improve with them. And it's good to know that we have some fans on NA also, like LTA North America, because like we don't used to talk with each other or know each other, you know? So
yeah. And I think that's a good thing about, like, and this is what we're trying to do here. You know, I've started co-streaming fully. Like, I did all the LTA South games. I'm going to continue trying to do that in the next split. I feel like this is the way that, like, the LTA thing will work out, because this was something that I don't think that anyone really had control of here. But I think that the way that the region will actually do well is with the collaborations between both of them. So we really appreciate you coming to our show, especially after a big day of scrims. Hopefully everyone out there was able to, you know, enjoy this, get a little bit of insight into what's going on, and hopefully this will bridge the gap a little bit.
Was good to have the conversation with you guys. Was like really nice. I wanted to talk with you that badly. I even say to the my CEO, because I didn't have this opportunity all my life to know people better on NA, you know, and to be more closer with you guys. So yeah, I was sometimes on the words, like I saw Yamato talking something about me or Dominate also. So it was good to see that you guys like I had this chance, you know, to talk with you. So yeah, I appreciate it. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, thanks, man. All right, we'll see you guys next time for another episode of the Sackdown. Peace.
See you guys.